Good morning. My name is Anu Rangarajan, and I'm at Cornell University in the Department of Horticulture, and I have been working on reduced tillage systems for about 15 years. And recently, we've been focusing on organic systems. I spoke on Tuesday about our work with very small permanent bed, probably less than 5 acre type organic systems, and now I'd like to talk about those that are designed for larger scaled farms. And so most of these systems I'll talk about today are probably people that are automated using mechanical tools to create unique reduced tillage situations, at least 10 acres or more. And so we have been really wanting to advance reducing tillage, reducing the intensity, the frequency, and the surface area, the soil that's disturbed. There's lots of different ways to do this. I'm going to focus in on those that are primarily mechanically done. I'm not going to go into any of the benefits because Ajay did such a great job of doing that, so we're going to move right through this. We are really wanting not to just focus on reducing tillage and isolation of our other efforts to improve soil health and soil quality, and doing this with cover crops for us has been a tremendous challenge, especially in an organic management system. While we know that both cover cropping as well as reducing tillage will enhance soil health, what we're after is a system that integrates both to get that the best benefit, the synergistic effects of both on soil health and quality. And so we work with primarily a strip tillage system or a zone till system. And we use this system because in our climates up in the more northern tier, we in growing vegetables are very sensitive to early season soil conditions and temperature, and we want to maximize our early season growth and not compromise our harvest date or the quality. And so a no-till systems historically have not done well for us, and so when we use a strip tillage system, we create a narrow and more modified directed zone of soil disturbance that is exactly where you're going to be planting your crop. And so in that area, because we do actually disturb the soil in that narrow zone, we're getting warmer soils, we increase the mineralization rate from soil organic matter, improve the distribution of fertility through the profile, incorporate fertilizers, and in the case of our systems, we try to alleviate subsoil compaction by using vertical shanks that actually disrupt the compacted layers. Another interesting advantage of this system is that it does reduce tillage by maintaining an undisturbed area between the rows that we're planting. So we can use, and if we can optimize the different types of surface mulches coming from cover crops in this case, we can actually provide some weed suppression there as well as conserve soil moisture, create habitat possibly for beneficials, although we have created nice habitat for pests as well. But overall be contributing to soil health. So that's our idealized system in which we look at the strip till, but we also know there's challenges. In that area that we're disturbing, we are still limited by how intense our tillage is, and so we can still have poor stands based on the quality of the soil, our soil type, and the history of management. We also can have trouble with residue. If we have residue that's in that area when we do with this practices, that residue can get pinned, it can get buried, or roots of rye are a huge problem because most of our tools aren't aggressive enough to break up those root masses. That will interfere with stand and establishment. Then when we follow through with trying to cultivate, our cultivation efficiency is not that good. And then in between rows, we have the challenge of just dealing with the residue. I tell people when they want to transition to strip tillage to work on a field that has no residue for a first year. Because if you're actually having to learn both how to reduce your tillage and deal with residue, you set yourself up for failure, and that's not the system that you want to have people starting with. Managing residue in between is okay. We don't use a rolled system. We haven't worked with that in ours. I'm always working with flail mode systems to allow maximum flexibility for weed control. That's the system that we've been working with. But the residue can get in your way of cultivating. We aren't actually disturbing that soil at all, so you're not getting the mineralization of soil nutrients that you might in a full-till system. And we can have trouble with regrowth of rye if we killed it at the wrong time, if we don't get it, for example, with that, or even vetch. So our approach has been to use different kinds of tools. This is a yeoman's plow that's been adapted to be a lighter weight tool for creating the strips. You can see the mini mound in the middle, right, that area that's disturbed behind the implement is actually very loose and friable and is a great place to direct seed or transplant. And we also work with larger tools like this UnverFirth. There's many different ones on the market. The principles being you have a rolling coulter followed by a shank to disturb subsoil compaction, and then followed at the end by some kind of finishing unit. So this is the basis of our strip till systems. So when we think about integrating cover crops and reduced tillage, what we have two sort of big picture choices. We can put in cover crops into the system that winter kill, and they're out of our way, and they're not going to interfere with anything. They provide some soil cover, but they're otherwise not going to be a problem. But they don't actually provide any in-season benefits of some weed suppression. Or we work with those types in our area that are winter hardy in the northern tier. And so we have popular cover crops for us are hairy vetch and cereal rye in mixes. It gives us a lot of spring biomass, soil erosion prevention. It can suppress weeds and add nitrogen. But once again, you're dealing with this tremendous amount of residue that you have to manage. And you saw from Ajay's presentation the thick residue that he laid down, and that would be the basis for planting through. Even if we mow and flail, it can still be a problem dealing with that residue. And that's where most of our growers shy away from these systems, and so we need different ways of looking at it. So we set up a long-term systems comparison in looking at reducing tillage and integrating cover crops. We have basically an experimental design where we're looking at the traditional mulching approach where we flail mow and leave the residue in place. And within that mulching system, we have multiple types of cover crop combinations. For those cover crop combinations of hairy vetch and rye, rye and crimson clover, and then a straight vetch, we actually tried three types of termination strategies. We flailed and left it in place. We flailed and then rototilled those covers into the soil, so mimicking a typical management practice with the cover crop prior to planting. And then we did one other, which we call a cut and carry. So we actually mowed the cover crop and removed it from the field using a forage harvester. So what we did was we eliminated our above-ground biomass to be interfering. In the case of managing the cover crops, we were really interested in the opportunity to sort of plant our cover crops differently. And so what we did in that case is we did some strip planting. So we would place our cereal rye where in the between row areas, and then in the area where we were going to be planting, we targeted our legumes. So in that case, in those management systems, we only would mow that and drop the mulch in place and then look at how did our cabbage respond to that management system. So our general timeline was drilling in the fall in mid-September. And then in the spring, we would do biomasses, and then we would do our management of the above ground, the termination, whether it would be flail mowing and leaving in place, removing it, or rototilling it in to the soil. Then after we were done, in some cases, we had to move our residue around just to make it uniform for the purposes of the experiment, and then we would zone build and plant for a later season cabbage harvest. So this is just a couple of pictures to just show what it looks like when we're actually doing this type of strip planting, where we have the rye in the between row area and then the hairy vetch in the in row area. Based on principle, when you have a mix that's uniformly distributed and you're using a legume that's nitrogen fixing, that legume will be in across the whole field, and it's not actually being targeted to where your crop is. We felt that the benefit of trying to do this sort of strip planting is it concentrates your nitrogen fixation and the nitrogen-rich crops in the area where the crop is going to be grown. And one thing we know from our past work with strip-till systems is that these in organic can be nitrogen-limited. So we grew the crimson clover and the vetch in an area where we intended to plant in the future. So here's just a couple of pictures to show you what the field looked like. So this is just straight rye that was planted in strips in the between row area with no legume in the in between where we intend to plant. And so this is one strip planting. And here's what a typical mix would look like. There's no differentiation or distinguishing of where either of the species are located. In this case, we have the rye that's in the between row area and then a hairy vetch targeted to the in row zone where we intend to plant in the future. And here's a very, it was really beautiful to see the crimson clover. This is not always overwintering for us, but recently crimson clover has been overwintering for us. But the crimson clover itself was a problem, and I'll share a little bit more about that with you. But this gives you an idea of what we went into before flailing, and then we would follow through with the zone building and then planting our crop into it. In Michigan, so this is part of a large multi-university experiment, and we had the same experiment replicated in Michigan. Their soil types were sandier and much lower in fertility than ours, and they have great cover crop growth and really poor rye growth. And so the results are sort of parallel to ours, but they're really thinking hard about how to fertilize cover crops in order to get biomass. So when we look at the overall biomass of what we've been able to produce, I have across the top basically about the same amount of biomass when we had rye and rye vetch or rye clover. We did the green bar sections represent the amount of biomass from the legume. We do have one treatment that's only vetch, no rye. And you can see how low the biomass is. It's the furthest, the green bar that's to the farthest to the right. And in that case, a fairly low amount of above-ground biomass that we were able to measure in the field. But all of these were at least 3 tons or more as far as where we had rye. So a pretty good amount of biomass growing that we were actually able to flail and leave in place or manage. Michigan, again, the levels were much lower. They were basically less than about on average 2 to 3 tons per acre, but much lower than what we had. We did measure the amount of nitrogen in the above-ground biomass, and our legumes contributed anywhere between 30 and 50 pounds of N in the above-ground portion, and that becomes important based on the way that we chose to terminate these. In some cases, if we're removing all of that, you're removing a significant amount of the nitrogen fertility if you're doing the cut-and-carry process, and so I just wanted to point that to you. Our vetch, while we had a much lower biomass, a tremendous amount of nitrogen was available in the above-ground biomass. There's a tremendous amount of nitrogen there. And so this is just a few pictures of the management of the field. In the first year, the biomass was so huge, we burnt up our flail. So we were stuck at the last minute having to use a rotary mower, which we then had to rake and move our mulch around. But we use a forage chopper for the removing process and a rototiller. When we go into establishing the zones for the planting, it's really critical that we do some row cleaning and move the biomass out of the way. And so we have row cleaners that are mounted on the front of the unit to allow a fairly clean area for planting. And so there's a bunch of different ways of making strip till work, and row cleaners are really important as an essential tool for making the system work. These are just a few pictures of how it looked. The rye vetch, in 2016, we had a very dry year, one of our driest years on record. And our rye vetch, the biomass was maintained after flail mowing and left in place. And so we did our zone tillage, but there was quite a lot of residue. The top picture, the little insert, is at the beginning of the season. And you can still see 4 to 5 weeks into the season a significant amount of residue on the surface. And the vetch, it also held up, but it definitely had broken down quite a bit. And then we did sort of only weed, machine-based weed control. So this, I wanted to just share with you some of our preliminary results. This is for our different termination strategies. And so in this case, we have rototilled, which is the gray bars, cut and carry, which is that system where we flail mowed and removed all of the above-ground biomass, and then the traditional, we call it the mulching system, where you've got that residue all laying there on the surface. If we start with the vetch treatment, it was all 100% vetch. It didn't matter what we did. It was the best-performing system across the board, which is sort of disheartening because we're always talking about using rye. Everywhere, like, everybody wants to make a system with rye work. Most of the conventional growers I work with are like, why are you doing that? But within a system of adding carbon and trying to build this, I say, let me make the mistakes first, and hopefully you can learn from them. But the vetch system was actually a total surprise to see this performance in this system. It didn't matter if we removed all of the above-ground biomass. There was still enough nitrogen left in the soil from that to support the crop, a cabbage crop, a very nutrient-dense crop. And if we move over to the three bars closest to me, once again, you can see the rye vetch in a mix, the presence of the rye, that didn't perform as well. In all cases, when we cut and carried, we tended to see lower performance and lower yield, which was also a surprise. We thought getting that biomass out of the way would not have an impact, but it did. But in this case, we didn't have any additional nitrogen as a side dress, and we did have that as a sub-treatment within our experiment because we know that nitrogen can be limiting in these systems. And when we do add nitrogen, the rye vetch system starts to perform the best. It starts to catch up. Both the rototilled as well as the mulch system start to catch up and are similar in yield to what we did with the vetch. I haven't spoken about the crimson clover very much. The rye crimson clover just did not do well. And the reason we believe is that our crimson clover should have been mowed 2 weeks earlier, but because it was with rye, the synchrony of anthesis did not match, and we had to delay our management of crimson clover. It wasn't something we anticipated. So the clover was very rank. It was very tough. It was actually very woody, and so we just had a much higher carbon to nitrogen ratio in that case. So the addition, so what's really, I think, in key is that whether we rototill it in or we leave the mulch on the surface, we have a similar performance of cabbage. Our vetch cover crop was doing well, but when we supplement with additional nitrogen, we can bring up the performance of our mixes. I wanted to talk just a bit about the strip planted. Strip planting a cover crop is not an easy job. You have to have a specialized tool or a drill where you can actually block seed boxes. And so we happen to have a drill where we can alternate what's going through the different seed boxes on a 7-inch spacing. In the vetch only performed the best across all of our mulch treatments. When we had no nitrogen applied, vetch was yielding higher and performed better. As soon as we added nitrogen, it started to equalize. And so the nitrogen limitation is an important one for us to address. When we did not have any vetch present at all, and that is one of our controls, the rye with none in the strip planted, what we observed was that that nitrogen addition, the side dress, is really important for allowing the crop to complete. So nitrogen was definitely limiting. In Michigan, they observed the same pattern. But there was no advantage to using the strip-planted covers. The bottom line was there was no advantage. And so we basically found that, well, it was true that we could do easier zone building with the strip-planted cover crops. There was no real benefit and no difference in performance of the crop in a strip-planted cover. We could just use the mix, and this is just 1 year so far, and that our yields were very, with strip-till, was similar to what we saw in a rototilled system. And so we feel really good about where we're headed with organic reduced tillage with this crop. Our vetch cover crop was just such a breeze to work with. It was easy to manage. It was high in nutrients, and the crop performed. It didn't provide much for weed control, but it also didn't interfere with any weed control. And as I mentioned before, crimson clover and dealing with mixes, the synchrony of maturity of these becomes really important. And so that was one of our challenges that we're hoping to address going forward. So that's the quick overview of where we're at in trying to really bring together cover crops in reduced till systems. In our strip-till system, we use primarily mechanical in between, and because we're mowing and flailing, that Lilliston-type cultivator moves through it very easily. It was fairly easy to maintain the weed control. We do have data on weeds, as well as labor hours spent for any in-row weeding. We didn't allow anything to go to seed, and so we have that. We just haven't had time to crunch through it yet. But it was not a limiting factor in any of the treatments.